last couple of weeks, we've been talking about belonging and how we most certainly belong to God, or there's the invitation, that invitation of God in the middle of things, kind of saying, come on, I love you, and you're mine. And how we belong to each other. That's kind of what we demonstrated a few moments ago, that all of that is interconnected, right? We're interconnected for sure, and certainly our relationship with God is part of that, and part of our relationship with God is how we are with each other. That's what the scripture that we just heard kind of really painfully processed through for us. Why are we in conflict? What is going on? What jealousy or longing is driving all that? So today I want to talk to you about kind of something that's part of all of that. And it's a little difficult. I know that for me, I really kind of struggled with this sermon because it brought back some memories and some things. We're going to talk about fitting in. Now, fitting in almost sounds like it would be belonging. You could almost kind of try that as interchangeable with belonging. Do you belong? Do you fit in? But in reality, in practice, actually, those things kind of are moving in different directions. That to belong is pointing in a different direction than what it is to fit in. And so I want to kind of spend some time sort of thinking through that with you. When I was in high school, and I've told this joke now enough times that you should be able to say it back to me. When I was in high school, when dinosaurs, there you go, long time ago. When I was in high school, I can't remember what grade I was, but I was confronted with that list of clubs. You remember that? Like, oh, you need to sign off on one of these, and maybe your parents need to approve or something like that. But, you know, it's like, here's the sign up for this. And I remember hearing about this group having people talk about this group that was about understanding and even celebrating the Appalachian culture of which I was from. I'm from the mountains of southwestern Virginia. And so there was, at that time in the 70s, early 80s, an awareness of the need to kind of make sure that the culture didn't disappear and to celebrate that. And so I thought that's cool. And I heard that they were using, you know, photography and film, and I was kind of interested in those things at the time. So I signed up, and I'm like, well, you know, this is going to be cool. I'm kind of looking forward to this. And signed up, and within a few days, I was visited by the sponsor of that group. And, you know, called me out of class, said, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And so took me to the hall, and I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm in, you know. This is awesome. I get that club ring or the, you know, the t-shirt or something. And what she did is she said, I saw that you signed up, and then had a very blunt conversation with me that said essentially that I was not the right type. I was not socially connected enough, and that I, you know, did not hang out with the right kind of person, apparently. And that that she was just going to remove me. I mean, she didn't give me really the option much, but it's like, you know, no, because you don't fit in. And I guess I did. Now, I remember feeling very hurt by that. Even, you know, sometimes candor is helpful. You know, sometimes people being clear, sometimes being clear is a loving thing. But candor in that particular way was really, really hard. And so I remember feeling very hurt and Also feeling very much put into my place. You don't fit in. And so all those things that, teenage kids, say about themselves plays inside of your head. So it's really a hard moment. Now, I've been through therapy for a few years, okay? So, nothing wrong with that. But I that just really stood out to me. You don't fit in. Now, I belonged to that school and I belonged to the Appalachian Mountains. That was my really, that was my culture, that was my heritage. I certainly belonged to that. I could have said, you made this available for everybody in the school. And I belong, right? But sometimes, even when you belong, you might not fit in. Does that make sense? It doesn't, but it does, right? Brené Brown is a social scientist and a really well thought of researcher. In how people are with each other. She began her work in shame, studying shame. And one of the things that her earliest work said that as I was, kind of reflecting on what it meant to feel shame, belonging and fitting in, and some other kind of ingredients started kind of being part of that whole thing. Those things are connected with each other. It's interesting. Now, what she says, let me just kind of read to you something that she writes about all this. She writes that true belonging doesn't require us to change who we are. It requires us to be who we are. Our yearning for belonging is so hardwired that we often try to acquire it by any means possible, by trying to fit in. Including trying to fit in and hustling for approval and acceptance. Not only are these efforts hollow substitutes for belonging, but they are the greatest barriers to belonging. When we work to fit in and be accepted, our belonging is tenuous. If we do or say something that is true to who we are, but outside of the expectation or rules of the group, we risk everything. If people don't really know who we are and what we believe or think, there's no true belonging. Now, those are nice words, kind of, fancy adult reflection, but all you have to do is talk to an eighth grader. Here's how an eighth graders have put this very thing that I just said. Belonging is being somewhere where you want to be and they don't want you. Finding that we have, we're fitting in, sorry, fitting in is being somewhere where you want to be and no one cares. If I get to be me, I belong. If I have to be like you, I fit in. Now, this has a lot of implications as to who we are, and most certainly who we are in the light of God, in light of, what we've been talking about these last couple of weeks, right? We belong to God. Are we fitting into church? Are we fitting in with each other? We belong to each other. Are we acceptable to God? And people, people are navigating those two questions all the time. All the time. So people beside you may be having those same kind of like figuring out conversations about, and it's just like we are stuck back in eighth grade. Do y'all remember eighth grade? I have just a very poor memory of eighth grade, and that's probably a good thing. the church has certainly found ways to say, well, everyone belongs. We love you. But then not having the people that are with us fit in. I mean, because fitting in really is going to be about who you are and how you're dressed and what kind of, connections that you have. In some communities, it's like, who are you related to? Who are your people? In some places, it is, what do you do in town? Where did you go to school? What kind of, things do you do like to do on the weekend? Do you like golf? Do you like boating? Do you like this? Do you like that? Are you part of a group that has, kind of really blown it in society, but still, trying to come in here with us? Sometimes that gets played out in really overt ways. I don't think you would like this church, has been said more than once by someone, even at the door. Maybe you're the wrong color or the wrong disposition. Maybe you have the wrong clothes. Maybe you have something that says that you're not going to fit in. Maybe you love differently. Maybe you vote differently. Maybe you, with me? So what happens is, as a church, we find ways to help people, sometimes overtly or sometimes covertly, to know this is not your place. I was meeting with a group of men in my church community. There were folks from the Methodist Church and there were folks from the Baptist Church. Actually, Baptist and Methodist can get along. We would meet weekly at 7:30 on Tuesday nights, and we would spend an hour with each other, kind of spiritually checking in. How is it with your soul? What things are going on in your life? You wanted to kind of work on, supporting your family better. How is that going? So there was about seven of us, and we met weekly. And it was one of the most formative parts of my young spiritual life. I was a young adult. I just kind of come back to being a Methodist, and so it was really valuable for me. And so one night, I got there a little early, and Gina and I were sharing a car, and so she dropped me off to go to a similar meeting that she had in another location. She dropped me off at the Baptist church where we met as men, and she dropped me off early so that she could make it in time. Totally fine with that. I thought the door would be open. It wasn't open. Okay. So I think I'm going to pump in here. Now it's kind of winter and it's cold and a little unpleasant. Got my coat on, got my hiking coat on, and I found the door locked. And so I'm like, oh, man. Okay. So I'm just going to sit here on these steps. There was kind of like this alcove with steps there. And I just kind of, I'm bundled up. I figured I can make this. They'll be here in about 10, 15 minutes. I'm good. And so a person came, got out of the car, had a baby carrier with her, and got out of the car, worked towards the door. I tried to stand up to help her with the door, but she got one look at me and thought, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Now, I understand that. I understand that. Stranger, it's a little bit dark and that sort of thing. But then, so she darted in, made it in just fine. Of course, she pulled the door shut and it was locked, right? Doggone. All right, so I'm going to sit here a little bit longer. So I sat there a little bit longer and pulled up another car with a young woman getting out of it. And I recognized her because she was part of my church. I knew her. I knew her by name. And she was part of my church. And she got one look at me and darted in the door. A little bit later, the first lady came out of the same door and said, you need to go. If you don't go, I'm calling the police. You need to go now, because we don't need you hanging out here. And I tried, like, really, I'm mean with these guys, and, you know, I'm a nice guy, you know, and all that kind of thing. But, I mean, that there was no having that. I even spoke to the woman that I knew, and there wasn't recognition. There was recognition the next Sunday. Oh, Bert, it's so good to see you. How are you? Did you have a good week? Yeah, I had a great week. I had a great week. You should have let me in, but I had a great week. No, I didn't do that. Okay. I think she shook my hand like that, too. We have all kinds of ways to say, not here, not you. Now, you know, what's amazing about this is I enjoy a certain amount of white privilege. Right? There are people that are, brown or are black or, you know, all the different categories that add extra layers of complication, who experience that much more commonly than I do, I have to be honest with you. And I recognize that. I think we need to recognize that. We have horrible ways of saying, not you. Now, there's a common story that is told inside of churches. It's so common, it's used as a sermon illustration that goes something like this. One Sunday, the church was gathered together. They were singing, and they all, you know, feeling good, dressed to the finest. And through the back door came a man who looked horrible and smelled horrible. And there were different versions of the story. He was a hippie. He was homeless. He was this. He was that. Whatever kind of like repugnant sort of thing that you could lay on someone. He came in there. He was and during the singing, didn't even show up on time, didn't even bother, kind of like do the things that he was supposed to do to fit in. He comes in the church. He comes down the center aisle and sits on the floor. You know. And then there's the kerfuffle in the back. The ushers are in the back, like, you know, Bob is trying to, like, you know, kind of like hold the ushers down. Because there is an impulse to get that guy the heck out of here. All right. This is told so many times. This is you've heard the story. This is a tried and true preacher story. And there's lots of different kind of combinations of this. In one version, the guy comes in and he sits down in the floor and there's this movement to pull him out. And then, you know, Bob's in the back holding the ushers back. But then one of the church leaders, one of the sincere church leaders that people respect that guy, gets up, walks down and sits on the floor next to him. Right? What does that say? It says we need to be open and loving and honest. But at the same time, there are other issues here, right? There's another version of this story where it's a church that is receiving a new preacher. It's interesting. We were talking about receiving a new preacher. And you're not, unfortunately. But, the church is receiving a new preacher. And you know, for a long time, there was not like social media. You didn't have like the campaign with the pictures and stuff like that. So there's a similarly disheveled person outside of the church, you know, sitting there as people are kind of walking by to get into the church, and they say nothing to him, or they may kind of shoo him away. And then he comes into the church anyway, and then comes up to the pulpit and says, "Good morning, I am your new preacher." Right? Have you heard that story? Yeah. Classic, tried and true kind of stories about us. And they're, you know, they're cliches almost because they're true. We, you know, in 2004, the United Methodist Church had a general conference, just like what we're doing now. They do them every 4 years, roughly. And the United Methodist Church had a gathering in Pittsburgh. Gina and I actually went to that as observers. They met in Pittsburgh, and there was this whole international gathering of Jesus lovers, people that were trying really hard to be in mission and followers of Friends of Jesus. And right outside of the convention center in Pittsburgh, right next to the river, if y'all know Pittsburgh, right there was, as at kind of a major entrance, there was a man sitting on a flower pot, very clearly in the same category of dishevelment that I have just been talking to you about, right? Well, that man, and I remember seeing him, and to my shame, I did not do anything, but no one else did either. We were all fitting in. We were all moving back and forth, like, oh, we got things to do. There's important things to do. And so there that man sat for the longest time. Now, that man was a clergy person, and he sat there for days. He came back to that particular spot for days and then wrote about his experience. And there was hardly a soul that even engaged him. Okay? So, it's true. We find ways to say, you don't fit in, we don't want you. And the world knows this. And increasingly, we talk about, well, where are the people? You know, our numbers are going down. What is happening? There are a lot of folks that look at buildings like us, like people like us, but people like me look at and say, you know, I don't think you want to have anything to do with me. Based on the experience and the things that I know about. Now, as it were, Jesus calls us to belonging. And this relationship with Jesus that is opened up to everyone is not about how you fit in or who you are. In fact, some of the people that are kind of the gatekeepers of that during Jesus' life and ministry would say to him, you are eating with the wrong people. You know, to eat with the with someone was to kind of like let them into your circle. So in ancient, first century Palestine, just to kind of have a casual meal at Wendy's down the street with someone who was the wrong person would have kind of gotten you into social trouble and really kind of like drawn questions about you spiritually. And they're looking at Jesus saying, you're hanging out with tax collectors and drunks and sinners and there's constant negotiation about who is it that I can be in relationship with? Who is my neighbor? Really? How are we going to define that? So Jesus is after the person, not the fitting in. The ability that the eighth grader pointed out to be myself is what Jesus is after. Third thing I would tell you is that Jesus didn't fit in. Okay? Jesus was a non-fitter inner. My mother would speak to me about my grammar later. Right. Yeah, he is hanging out with the wrong people. He is engaging in things that really kind of defy the social norms and expectations. And he is such a beer, but non-fitting in person that it gets him ultimately so rejected that it's totally fine to try to kill him. And even amongst people with whom he belonged, right? He was Jewish. He was struggling.